you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a mix of hope and despair for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, January 17th, 2021. And my guests today are Alexandra Kotcheff, Hannah Leader, and Sam Morrill. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good, thanks. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with first-time guest, Alexandra Kotcheff is here.
Hello, everyone. So excited to be with you, Doug.
How are you doing?
You know, everyone said 2020, oh, God, like, let's go 2021. It's going to be way better, but it still feels like 2020. I wish I could be more hopeful, but, I'm hoping for maybe a better February.
Yeah, I think February is going to be really great compared to January. I think it's just going to be a matter of, of degrees. We just have to, each month, I'm hoping it'll be at least a little bit better than the last. And you are, Alexandra, co-producer, co-writer, co-director, and co-star of a movie that's available for people to see now called The Planters.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit more about that movie after we meet the other co-producer, co-writer, co-director, and co-star of The Planters. It's Hannah Leader. How you doing, Hannah?
I'm good. How are you, Doug?
Pretty good. We'll establish that a few times, I think.
Yes.
How did the two of you made this movie together, and it's on, you can watch it on demand, wherever you do those things. It's been out for a little bit?
Yeah, we had our little drive-in pop-up virtual cinema run, and then switched to VOD this last month, and it is still available there on iTunes and Amazon and wherever you like to buy movies.
Yeah, all of the places. And so how did the two of you end up doing, why did you make your own movie? How'd you end up doing that?
Oh, that's a good question, Doug. Well, we've been collaborators. We collaborated on a screenplay maybe that's almost, my goodness, it's almost been 10 years when we first started just thinking that we wanted to write a screenplay together. And we realized that no one was going to give us money for that one. So we were like, let's just make a proof of concept, you know, short film. And so the people will give us money. It's just, it was quite delusional, actually. So we thought The Planters was going to be a short film, and we realized that we could shoot it without a crew as a feature, which was another delusional thought, but it ended up working out. And that's what got us to make our first feature.
And everything was like from get-go, you knew which parts you were going to play, and you knew that you wanted to co-direct the movie?
Yes. Yeah, that was part of the seedling. I mean, we knew we wanted to do that in that first feature Alexander was talking about. So we figured we should do the same kind of thing for this other wild hair idea, going to shoot without a crew.
Well, just could you give us just the short version of you know, I guess you probably had to describe the movie to people many times. Like, how do you describe it?
You know, okay. So, well, The Planters is about a reclusive telemarketer who dislikes human beings, and her friendship, unlikely friendship with a woman with multiple personalities. So she ends up getting a lot of friends in one, and it's essentially a story of friendship and unconditional love, if you look at it positively, and a story of loneliness and connection and all those kind of darker elements as well. So, and that's the kind of plot of our film. And so that's how I'd mostly describe it to people.
Yeah. And a planter, though, is a person who plants something. Is this a thing you knew about or made up, the planter concept?
We made it up. I mean, I'd say loosely inspired. There's geocaching, and there are people that love treasure hunting, but the planting was definitely a somewhere in our imagination that popped out.
I wonder if there's people now going to, have you heard of anybody planting anything with a similar sort of intent? Because in the movie, every time she plants something, somebody comes along and takes it, but replaces it with some cash, which is a pretty sweet deal.
You know, that would be amazing. There was something really funny happened on our festival run where this couple, like, came up after, because part of the promotional thing was we'd do these postcards and we'd have coordinates on the postcards. And the coordinates would generally be where the theater is that the film would be playing. But for Austin Film Festival, we had two different theaters. So we just picked a rant, like, not even a theater coordinates. And this couple came up and they're like, hey, we were trying to figure out, you know, should we go to those coordinates? And I was like, no, you're good. You're here. It's like, but they were very excited, and it would be awesome if some weird planting thing took off, because we could all use a little more treasure in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a pretty, pretty sweet deal, you know, I got so many items that I would love to just put in a jar and bury, and then, you know, get some cash back.
Yeah.
And this episode, we could call it Sam Listens to Doug Talk to the Filmmakers of The Planters. Sam Morrill is here, the returning champion, won the games last week. I asked him to come back. He actually said yes.
I mean, well, I feel like a lot of those games, though, were up to chance. I don't feel like a real champion as much as I feel like just lucky, Doug.
Yeah, you're the person who kind of lucked into the win, because all the games on the show they're a little less.
I didn't even know what some of those movies. I'd never heard of Soap Dish. That was a pure guess.
Hannah and Alexander, have you heard of the movie Soap Dish?
No,
unfortunately.
Perfect. This is going to be. This is a level playing field today. We'll see how it goes. Alexandra is actually filmmaking royalty, I dare say, because her father, your father, Alexandra, is Ted Kotcheff, who directed first of all, like, just a great director in terms of, like, he didn't have, like, one genre he did all the time. Like, he was always doing different things. But I guess best known for directing the first Rambo movie, First Blood, and Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can't get more different than First Blood and Weekend at Bernie's.
You know, that's really funny because he had two of his films, like, those are kind of his Hollywood, what people know of him. But two of his films in the last, like, 5 years have been named Cannes Classics, The Apprenticeship of Dedi Kravitz and Wake and Fright. So he has really the art house, the Hollywood comedy, and then the action film. So you're right. He has quite a vast variety of genres.
I finally saw, because I'd heard about it for years, I finally saw Wake and Fright just the other day. And that movie is messed up.
I know.
Especially if you're a kangaroo lover, I wouldn't recommend it.
I know.
I don't know if anyone would describe themselves as a kangaroo lover. That's a weird description, you know?
Or I guess, I don't know, if you just have a lot of sympathy for...
if you like animals.
Yeah. And I mean, the kangaroos in this movie, they're pretty... it's pretty wild. You know, and I guess there's some sort of disclaimer at the end of the movie saying, hey, let's be nicer to kangaroos, I think.
Well, the actual story for that scene was he actually just followed kangaroo meat hunters. So it was like a documentary style. He just followed them as they did what they do.
Yeah. And what they do I don't think it's nice.
Oof, God, no. It's disgusting. It's horrible. People like walked out of the theater in that scene.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in that movie. It's one of those movies where, you know, you're well into it when you're like, is this going to reveal what it's about? Like, what is happening? Where is this going to go next? And it's something. Before we get into my first question that I like to ask all of my guests each show, I'll just quickly say that, of course, the weekend box office, there's not too much to report. There's a new Liam Neeson movie called The Marksman that I guess is is currently number one with it made $3.2 million this weekend. Probably a little bit more with the tomorrow being the Martin Luther King holiday. But
box office numbers sound like they're from the 1950s now. You know, yeah, so sad.
It's very, very sad. But, you know, at least there's movies out there, mostly in drive-ins, and, you know, and they're you know, making some money and getting seen. That's the important thing. Alexandra, I'll start with you on this question that I ask everybody. It'd be great if it was like available on streaming, but it doesn't have to be. Do you have a movie that you would recommend for people during this this weird time that we're in?
Well, I've been watching. You know, you'd think that during a pandemic you'd have a lot of time to watch movies, but it strangely seems the same. But that being said, I've been watching quite a bit of Fellini lately. I don't know. It's the mood I've been in. There's something romantic, something like, I feel like we're so steeped in realism lately that I just like to escape into like another time and this kind of romantic view of the world. So I've been watching quite a bit of Fellini. I would say
which one would you say is a good starter for somebody that may not have seen a lot of Fellini?
Knights of Kabira is my favorite right now. So I would say that one, go watch that.
All right. I will put you down for Knights in?
In Kabira, sorry.
In. And what about you, Hannah? Do you have a movie that is out there now that you could recommend?
It's Knights of Kabira. I'm sorry to... interrupt. It's Knights of. I just Googled. I was like, it's not Knights in. Knights of.
Okay, be careful. Like, as soon as the guest says they've Googled something, then everyone assumes they're going to cheat during the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just went on my phone. Phone is off.
Okay. Knights of? Is that what we decided?
Knights of Kabira. Knights of Kabira, correct.
C-A-B-E-R-A?
C C-A-B-I-R-I-A.
Oh my God. Figure it out on your own, everybody.
Yeah, go. You'll figure it out. Just put in Google. Figure it out.
Just go Fellini Knights of and you should be good. Hannah, what's a movie you'd like to recommend?
It's not a recent film, but I recently rewatched Being There by Hal Ashby. And I feel like that is it's a really good time to watch that film. Peter Sellers is like this man who's seemingly never been off of this compound where he's a gardener for this very wealthy man who then dies and then he's kicked off the compound and like all he knows of the world is through television and it just gets crazier from there. He gets hit by a car that Shirley MacLaine is inside of and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the way the mind that he has from watching television and just quoting things from television, he gets pretty far with that. It's pretty incredible and not that far fetched.
Yeah. I feel like we've in a more sinister way kind of seen people rise to power and
it's real witchy,
but not as savory as a character, you know.
Yeah, it's like what if a nice idiot got a lot of power?
Exactly.
All right, Sam. I know you've spent the last week thinking about how to improve your answer from last week.
Nonstop, and I really dug myself a hole. It's so weird you said Being There because I've never seen it and I just started it at my friend Matt Salakis, who directed my special. I ended up watching it at his place when we were like 45 minutes in, but his kid wasn't feeling well, so I had to leave and he's like, don't watch the rest without me. So I'm like, I gotta fucking wait to, you know, so I'm gonna finish it. I loved what I saw so far though, so I'm looking forward to it. But my pick is this movie called Election from the 90s. Alexander Payne made it. I think he got me too, so I feel bad for saying it, but there's a whole cast of people. It's a great movie. It's funny as hell. It's Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. And it's just another movie with obviously bigger meaning, but it's just a plain funny movie with a lot of cool little nods. There's this part that kind of ripped the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's really, really funny.
I think that, Alexander Payne, like his first few movies were all, I mean, even his later ones have been good, but his first few movies were really, really well done. And, and also took on some, like in the case of like Citizen Ruth, it's about, it's basically an abortion comedy, which doesn't seem possible, but.
Yeah, the anti-Juno, yeah.
But somehow it works. But here's the weird timing about Election is a girl who, one of the lead actors in that movie just died a couple days.
What?
What?
Who?
Yeah. And it's kind of under the radar because she had stopped acting, basically. But she's the one who plays Chris Klein's sister.
Oh, no.
Sammy? Yeah, her name is Jessica Campbell. And, it was kind of, during all the crazy news that's been going on lately, it didn't get much attention. But
what happened?
I don't know. I'm not sure what she died from. I don't think it's like a COVID thing, but it was some sort of condition that, I think she might have been aware of. But yeah, she was great in that movie.
So funny. Yeah, I mean, the movie is so many. I mean, I feel like no jokes really miss. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's very tight, and the music and the performances, everything comes together.
And look how they portray an affair as unromantically as possible in a motel, and how it goes south. Like everything about it actually feels real. how like in your mind, you're like, an affair would be glamorous. And then you're like, but it won't, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great movie. I was thinking about it the other day, cause it's like, you know, one of the last scenes in the movie takes place right outside the White House. When Matthew Broderick throws his shake at the car that Reese Witherspoon is in.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking of it whenever I see footage of all the madness outside the White House. I just think of Matthew Broderick throwing a shake at a car. not quite as terrible in terms of behavior, but still weird.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some Fellini, some Ashby, and some Alexander Payne for people to check out. And I'd like to play some games now, but first, a quick commercial message. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We're back. Is everybody ready to play a game?
Yeah.
I appreciate your enthusiasm. We're going to play two games to determine a winner today. And the first one is called How Long Is It? And in this game, I'm going to name a thing, and then each of you are going to guess how long it is, and the closest without going over, Price is Right style, is going to be the winner.
Wow. Okay. Whew, I'm nervous.
This is nothing to be nervous about. There's a classic Tom Hanks movie called Sleepless in Seattle, and it concludes romantically at the Empire State Building. So my question is, how long is the Empire State Building, or rather, how tall, I should say, is the Empire State Building? And this is including the spire at the top, which is, this is a little hint, I guess, or clue, that's 204 feet tall.
Wow.
Just the spire on top.
So I'm embarrassed that I'm a New Yorker and I have no idea.
Right? That's like a sort of thing that's, it's, you know, you're right there living with it. And I'm sure if someone's even said to you, or you've heard somebody say out loud how tall it is.
I'm so void of New York facts. I'm so embarrassed. I was walking with my friend today and he's like, well, this second floor used to be an advertising window. I have none of that. I'm so embarrassed. So when I'm with people who have that, I'm so jealous.
You should at least get a few, you know, like it's fun when you're walking around New York when somebody just points at a building and goes, that's where a scene from that movie, you know, took place.
I got like, some of that, but that.
Yeah, learn a few of those.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite one? What's your favorite, like, oh, that's where they shot?
Last scene of Annie Hall is pretty cool.
Oh, when they're outside the movie theater?
The coffee shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
That's a cool, it's just so New York. Or,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Empire State Building, you know, of course, the original King Kong concludes there. But everybody knows that. How tall do you think it is, Alexandra?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I can't even fathom in what it, are we going in inches, feet, meters?
Feet. So the spire on top is 204 feet, and it's, you know, clearly not, you know, there's lots of building underneath it, but how much?
How many? Okay, I'm going to go with 1,500 feet. No, that's a lot. 1,500 feet. Okay, let's go with that.
Okay. All right. So she's saying 1,500 feet. from ground to the top of the spire?
1501.
Okay. I like you really embracing the Price is Right aspect of it. you're dollaring your own bid. Hannah, what do you think?
Well, I feel crazy because I feel like it's like the number I'm thinking is a lot bigger than that. If the spire is like 204 and the spire is like a floor or two, I don't know, is it like 10,000 feet? Is that insane? I don't know. I don't know how big buildings are. I'm going to go with 10,000 square feet. I mean, 10,000 feet. Excuse me.
10,000 feet.
Yeah, but is my building super small? I just thought about. Anyways, let's go ahead.
Oh, geez. I'm like trying to do the
math. I love this. Well, Sam, what do you think?
Well, I'm trying to do the math in my head because I'm trying to ballpark how many floors I think it is. And then I'm like, how many feet? I would guess like, I'll go 5,000. Oh, no, maybe, you know what? I'll go. Yeah, I'll go 4,000.
Uh-huh. Come on, Sam.
All right, Sam's going 4K. I mean, I would have hated to get this question personally because I, you know, never thought about how tall any building is really. And that one in particular, knowing that the spire is 204 feet tall makes this answer seem crazy to me. But the building itself is 1,250 feet tall with 204 feet of spire.
Nice.
So that's a total of 1,454 feet.
Wow.
Wow.
Good job.
Wait, who won?
So
you did.
Over.
Nobody won, but since everybody went over, I think it's only fair to say Alexandra is the best because she's only off by 6 feet.
I'm only off by 6 feet?
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Oh, shit! That's awesome!
Yeah. But it was over, so you know.
How many floors is the Empire State Building? So like 30-something floors?
I think it's more than that, isn't it?
Really?
In the 70s or something?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm embarrassed.
It's crazy tall. I'm super embarrassed. Super.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how short the Empire State Building was. Because I was like, that sounds like a 1,500 feet. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to conceptualize.
Yeah. Well, because each floor is probably, what, like 10 or 15 feet? So maybe 20? How tall is a floor?
I don't know. I'm thinking like if this were like Die Hard 3 and I had to come up with riddles, I'd be dead on the first challenge, you know?
Well, we're going to call Alexandra the winner of our first game today. Congratulations.
Thank you. That makes me feel so good.
You were so worried, and then everybody else's guesses were so much worse.
I know. Dude, I underdid that one.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine 10,000 feet?
I think that's like skydiving. That's like...
Yeah.
I have no concept of space, clearly. I was thinking, each floor is like 100 feet tall, like in my brain. Oh, man. That's a smart way
to look at it. Skydiving, though, because I think I dove from like 8,000 feet, and there definitely wasn't a building reaching up right nearby. All right, let's take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back. No flipping.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have, or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. We're here with the makers of The Planters and the maker of Sam Morril's stand-up special, which I think during the week since you've been on the show, Sam, I think everybody that listens to Doug Loves Movies has seen your special.
Hell yeah. Up on the roof if you're one of the couple people that haven't. But
you haven't gotten to it yet. You know, Sam can't win every week, so you're just gonna have to remember to watch his special. I got one more game that's a little bit more involved than that last one to determine our winner today. It's called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? I'll say the tagline for. Oh, that reminds me. Do you know what the tagline is for The Planters?
We came up with one, and it was two. What is it, Hannah?
I don't know if this is the official one. I feel like it was two friends.
Too hot to be cool.
Too weird. Too hot to be cool.
A lot of times people involved in a movie don't, even the filmmakers themselves don't know what ended up on the poster and in the commercials and stuff. The taglines they're a mixed bag, you know. Sometimes they describe a movie perfectly and other times they're pretty cheesy. So I'll say a tagline from a movie. We'll go to Alexandra first.
Nice.
And she gets to guess what movie it's from. If she can't get it, if you can't get it, Alexandra, then we move on to Hannah. And if she can't get it, then Sam gets a shot. And, they're not easy. So don't beat yourself up if you can't think of what it is. Some describe the movies, therefore, better than others do. Are you ready for your first one, Alexandra?
Ready, steady, go.
What movie had the tagline "Ride together, die together"?
Ride together, die. Thelma and Louise.
You know, that's a terrific guess. If taglines gave away the endings of movies. but that's not it. What do you think it is, Hannah?
That was actually my first thought. So now
that would be a great tagline for that movie. I don't think they would want to give that away.
I don't know, like Fast and the Furious 3 or something. I don't know.
It could have been. It certainly could be the tagline for any Fast and Furious movie. But I know they love to work family into it somewhere. Sam, what do you
think? I think I know this, and I know this because they say it 100 times in the commercial for this, and it's a franchise, I'm guessing. I think it's Bad Boys, because for some reason they say ride together, die together, and there are like 3 of them, so they don't die together.
So but what I think are you saying?
I'm saying it's Bad Boys, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
What's the full title?
Bad Boys. So I'm guessing it's one of the sequels, Bad Boys 3.
Oh, man, you're so close.
Oh, man, what is it?
It's called Bad Boys for Life. Get it?
He gets
for
that, Doug.
Life.
There was a fourth?
Yeah, it just came
Holy
out.
Shit.
It was the last big hit before the pandemic.
Wow. No, I've only seen the first two. And well, even the second was pretty bad.
I'm still impressed that you figured out that it was a bad boy situation, but I can't.
Well, they say it in every commercial. They're like, we ride together, we die together. That's the only reason I know it.
Yeah, that's a strange attitude. They both have families.
Yeah.
Like, they really should. I hope they're more mature by the end of the fourth movie. All right, so nobody has a point yet. We're back to Alexandra. What movie had the tagline, "A tide is coming"?
Blue Crush?
I like that. That's not correct, but... that's one of those, Blue Crush, that's one of those movies when it's on cable, I have a hard time turning away. A lot of great surfing. Hannah?
Yes.
A tide, apologies, not the tide, a tide is coming.
Okay. Tide is coming. That's tough. It's not a Jaws film, but that's the only thing popping up in my head right now.
This shark's riding a wave into shore.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything that has to do with water or the ocean.
Little Mermaid.
Narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah, and then I'm like, maybe a documentary of sorts, but that would be really dramatic for a documentary. I'm gonna go with. Was there another shark franchise? Was that just Jaws? Wasn't there something else? Where am I thinking?
Well, there was, you know, I guess there was a shark in that one where Blake Lively's stuck on a buoy. The Shallows.
I'm going to go with A Perfect Storm.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's a really good one. That's a really good guess. It's not correct, but if there were good guesses, points, you just got one.
Well, thank you.
Sam?
Well, it's not Titanic, I'm going to guess, because that's not what happened.
That'd be weird.
I'm thinking just a tide, that's it?
They were worried about the tide. They weren't concerned about the iceberg.
Well, I haven't even seen this movie, but for some reason I saw a news story that Russell Crowe is starting shit with someone on Twitter because they didn't like Master and Commander. So I'm like, that's in my head for some reason.
Master and Commander, Far Side of the World.
Yeah.
Was a Paul Peter Weir movie that I always thought it was, you know, a boring movie, but some guy said that he put it on because it's good. It's a good movie to, if you need to fall asleep, like if you're having a hard time sleeping, you should watch it. And then Russell Crowe came back with a response about how the kids today, they don't have, they don't have patience.
Yeah, but I liked that he shout out his cinematographer. He was like, this person did this. And I was like, yes, that's what you do when you're on a thing. You stand by your people. I liked it.
Yeah, he was very specific about everybody involved and their contributions and and it being a great movie. And then, of course, lots of people pile on because it's not a movie that, you know, it's a well-liked movie in a lot of circles. So, but it's still pretty funny that you can just randomly insult some movie on the internet and then you've got fucking Russell Crowe in your face about it. Ooh, I'm sorry, Russell.
I feel like Marlon Brando would have been on Twitter, you know, if he made it. I feel like he's like that type of dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would have been, we would have cherished it because his comments would have been so weird. But A Tide is Coming was the tagline they came up with for the Aquaman
Ooh.
Motion picture just a couple of years ago. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the tide has to do with Aquaman. I think, doesn't he kind of control the tide, I guess?
I don't know.
And he controls all the fish. So if he gets all the fish to swim in one direction, that would change the tide.
They're running out of superheroes. Now they're getting pretty lame.
Yeah, and it's funny, like on The Boys, on that show, the guy that's like the Aquaman character, he's like just this horrible dude that can't get his shit together. Ready for your next one, Alexandra?
Yep. So are any of these, just clarifying question, are these older films or newer films, or is it just up in like a whole variety of films, just so I can get my brain right?
There are films from all of films, all up until today, but I generally don't do movies that just came out because there's no reason for people to necessarily know the taglines unless they just happen to look at the poster or something.
Okay, I'm ready.
What movie had the tagline, "The game has evolved"?
Jeez, come on. The game has evolved. Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls.
It was a lot more evolving to do at that point. Hannah?
That scene in Guys and Dolls, speaking of shit that hasn't aged well, is when Brando's like, she's never drank before, and he's like, have another one. She's like, it's just like a milkshake. He's like, sure they are. Let's get a bunch. And you're like, oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she falls in love with him because that's how drunk she gets.
That is a really good movie.
Yeah.
That is one of those musicals that's got a shitload. Those last like four songs are all killer.
Yeah, the music is quite good. It's the characters and the relationships are a little weird.
And Brando beat out Sinatra for the lead. That's how good Brando was, that he beat out the best singer. It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess Brando just had more heat at the time because he certainly, his singing is a little rough.
Yeah, it's not amazing.
Lock me a lady tonight.
Lock me a lady. If you ever been a lady, lock me a lady tonight.
that's incorrect. Guys and Dolls incorrect. Hannah?
Can you say the line again?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The game has evolved.
The game has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oceans. I'm trying to think of the sequels. Like, did they do more? Was it like Oceans 13?
Ooh.
Oceans 13 is my guess.
No, the tagline for Oceans 13 was, "A tide is coming." No, it's not an Oceans movie, but that would have been a good one. Sam?
Damn, that was a good guess. My first thought is the movie The Game, but I don't think they would say the title in the tagline. The game?
It could happen, but in a game show format such as this, it's a bit much to, you know, give it away like that.
The game has evolved. Oh. Jeez. I have no idea.
Jumanji. Just kidding.
That actually sounds like the answer.
Oh, really? I was just joking.
I feel like it's like the new Jumanji, probably. Yeah, that sounds like what it is.
What was that one called?
Jumanji 2?
No, it's, again, Sam, so insanely close.
What?
You're not even the first one to say Jumanji. But the answer is Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
God damn, I heard that. I was like, that's got to be it.
Yeah,
it is a game.
It was the first one was called, the first one with Chris Rock. The first one with The Rock and Jack Black and Kevin Hart was called Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. But the reason the tagline is saying the game's evolved because it was a board game in the original Jumanji, and in the new Jumanji, it's a video game.
Mm.
Yeah, but as a team, you guys almost got it right.
That was good.
Yeah, That was really good teamwork. But some are very specific. And, you know, this one is an example of that. So we'll see how you do with this one. Alexandra, which movie had the tagline, Kevin has 22 distinct personalities. The 24th is about to be unleashed.
I watched enough movies to know this. Kevin. Oof. Pass.
I'm also wondering if I wrote just something down wrong, because it's 22 distinct personalities. The 24th is about to be unleashed. Well, what happened to the 23rd one?
I don't know. And this sounds like, I'm thinking of like dark movies, but this sounds like a comedy.
Yeah.
What do you think it is, Hannah?
I mean, the only film that popped into my head, which I haven't seen, is We Need to Have a Talk About Kevin. Is that a film?
It is. We Need to Talk About Kevin.
He doesn't. Anyways, that's my guess, even though I know it's wrong.
He doesn't have multiple personalities, but that it's still that you came up with a movie that's got someone named Kevin in it is good.
It's good.
Sam?
My first thought, which I haven't seen, is that movie Split, but I don't think it's a comedy, and this sounds like a comedy. Multiplicity? I don't know.
That's your guess, Multiplicity?
Yeah, that's my guess. I know it's a clone movie, but...
We talked about that movie last week on the show.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what this could be.
Well, it's a movie called Split. What is wrong with you?
Oh, my Sam! Goodness.
I was right.
Said the answer out loud.
Man, I've been close on three of these. I'm pretty dumb.
Yeah, you're always really you're really splitballing it, but you don't get quite.
Damn.
All the way there.
Wild.
Close.
Yeah, somebody's gonna get a point eventually. Alexandra.
Goodness.
What movie has the tagline, every generation has a story?
Oh, oof. That's dark. That's a dark tagline. Kids.
They had a story. It was sad to tell.
I know.
Generation. Hannah?
Is that name of the play that John Wells did it turned into a film? No, that wouldn't make sense. Every generation. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
What was that film with Julianne Moore and Nicole Kidman and they're all in different times?
The Hours?
The Hours. No, that was a horror film. Was it The Hours? I'm just going to say The Hours.
That's the one where Nicole Kidman had a fake nose?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was called The Hours and Ed Harris was had AIDS in it.
Yes.
I want to be clear that it's just in that one movie, not Ed Harris himself. Sam?
Okay. It sounds like a war movie to me. Every generation is, but it could also be one of those like period dramas. Every generation, this is a weird guess. Flags of Our Fathers?
No, but. While you were ramping up to saying that, you said one of the words in the title.
Really?
Yeah. Every Generation Has a Story was the tagline for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
No.
Yeah. But you did say war, though.
Doug, these are hard.
I know. It's so difficult. But this next one, I have a really good feeling somebody's going to figure this one out. Okay, you ready, Alexandra?
Sure.
The tagline is merely the most lethal sniper in U.S. history.
Oh, American Sniper.
That is correct. Alexandra is on the board with 1 point.
Yes.
I was going to say Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, but...
Oh, yeah. That would be one, too. All right. Here's another very specific one for you, Hannah. You got to go first this time.
Oh, boy.
Because Alexandra has a point. She's going to run away with this thing. Propose to this cop's sister. Rookie mistake.
Propose to this cop's sister. It feels like it's from the 1950s.
I know what this is, and I don't know the title.
Well, maybe it'll come into your head while Hannah thinks it over.
You can take this if you think.
I think I know it. I think really? Okay. Yeah. I know it's an Ice Cube movie.
Is
it called The Ride Along?
Shorter.
Ride Along.
Yeah.
Boom. I remember that trailer.
I think like on Jeopardy, you wouldn't actually get the point if you added the to it.
Yeah, I feel like I've been so close though.
Yeah, no, that you definitely deserved a you've been close many times point. So now you have one and Alexandra has one and Hannah still needs to get in the game here. We got one more opportunity. Alexandra gets to go first though.
Okay.
What movie had the tagline "Misery loves family"?
Ooh.
Misery loves family. It sounds like an Italian.
Yeah.
Godfather.
No.
Oh.
Hannah.
What is that film with Betty?
You're going to say Betty White because it's her birthday today.
Yes, I was going to say Betty White. I can't look it up. So, it sounds.
Oh.
Sorry,
I was thinking. Somebody
thought of it too late.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking of Betty Davis.
Oh.
Betty Davis plays like the mom or the evil sister. All About Eve. Is that what that film is?
That would be a great tagline for that movie, I think.
That's a great movie.
I mean, there's so many family movies where you could say misery loves family.
All right. I think I got a guess.
All right. What is it?
I've never even seen the movie, but it feels like it could be this movie. My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No! Oh, man. I really thought you were just going to blurt out the right answer.
Really?
You sounded so confident.
I know. But I've been like very confidently wrong on a few of these.
Yeah. And I think you have seen this movie. That was the tagline from Meet the Fockers.
That was my thought.
I didn't see it. I liked the first one a lot. I never saw the second.
Oh, yeah, that was Meet the Fockers was the second one. And of course, after that was Little Fockers. And the fourth one, they never made it, but it was going to be called Fuck This Shit. fuck this. all right, so the thing that those movies all had in common is that they were all big box office hits in January of the year that they were released. And Alexandra and Sam are currently in a tie, so we have to do a tiebreaker.
Oh, Sam, I got you.
I think you do.
I'm going to say the tagline for yet another movie that was a big hit in January. And the first one, you can guess as many times as you like, the first one between Alexandra and Sam, who guess the correct title of this movie, is our winner today.
Okay.
The tagline was "Enter the World."
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. What kind of tagline is that? Enter the World.
Enter
okay.
the World.
Enter the World.
Boy.
Hmm.
Enter the World. If I keep saying the tagline, it'll come to me.
Right? Narnia.
It's not Narnia.
Avatar?
It's Avatar. That is
what?
Correct.
What? Oh, no, it's not. You see, I just thought of big budget movies.
Yeah, that's the idea. Is I thought that you both would blurt it out like right away, because also like it was such a, you know, for the people that loved it, it was such a transformative, you know, experience to go to what's it called? Pandora.
It bugged me out of the gate. I love that it's like it's set deep in the future with all this technology and the guys using like a manual wheelchair. Like they can't even get him like a motorized wheelie, you know. There were so many issues I had with that movie, but I know people liked it.
Well, it's essentially like the main character. He starts, you know, fighting. He's basically he's in our army, and he basically, you know, is a traitor to the other side.
Yeah.
When he falls in love, if the movie took place in like you know a real war in the world and a U.S. troop decided to join the other side just because he fell in love, I think people would have a very different reaction to that movie.
You know what's a cooler movie though that kind of had that tone but is a way better movie, I thought, was District 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a good movie,
but just dirtier and clunkier too though. Like,
yeah,
like it wasn't as much of a fantasy, you know, wasn't as pretty.
True.
All right. Well, congratulations, Sam. You did it once again. You
good job, Sam.
Congratulations.
You walked into the winning spot again. So you get to do your plugs first for the few people that haven't seen it yet. Tell us about your special.
Just watch. Watch Up on the Roof, which is my pandemic rooftop special, self-produced. It's on my YouTube channel. And then also last year's my special, I Got This, which is on Comedy Central's YouTube channel. They're both free. They're both commercial free. And I think you'll like them. They're a good time.
I think they will like them too. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Again, you don't have to commit right now, but you do have the option. You have the option to come back again next week if you'd like.
I feel like now I have to, but yeah, let's talk.
Can you imagine like if now suddenly you just have a weekly podcast you have to do because you just don't lose? Come back every time. But it's been delightful playing and talking with Alexandra and Hannah, Alexandra Kotcheff and Hannah Leader. The Planters is available wherever you get your entertainment on demand.
Yes. Check us out. We'd be happy to entertain you for 74 minutes.
It's super fun and not, like you say, it's not a long movie. It's like just the length to qualify as a movie. And, but it's really fun. And, I recommend it. And thank you for being here. It's very nice to meet both of you.
Thanks, Doug. It's awesome.
Do either of you have a Twitter account, or are you not in that game?
We're not in that game.
What's that?
We're not in that game. We're on Instagram at Leader Kotcheff, and we both have our own Instagrams as well. So you can
find cool.
all about us there.
I'm so jealous of you guys.
What are your tags over? I know it's so great to not be on Twitter. What's your tags on Instagram?
I'm Alexandra Kotcheff. That's just my name. And Hannah and I, as a directing duo, we're Leader Kotcheff, which is our two last names together. And Hannah?
Is mine at Hannah Leader?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's my tag. At Hannah Leader. There you go.
So it sounds like Alexandra's more the leader when it comes to the Instagram situation.
She is the queen, definitely.
And so the two of you are working on more projects together?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, please come back and talk about them when you have another movie coming out. I don't really have anything specific to plug, so I'll say once again, watch Sam's special and watch the movie The Planters. Between the two, that's like it's 2 hours of your life. And then you got so much more life to live. Thank you again to my guests. Alexander Kochev, Hannah Leader, Sam Morril. Until next time, as always, he'll be all right.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, go.